Hi, it's Microdoses. I am standing in a patch of ferns. I love ferns. I love how they're fractals of themselves. I remember being a kid and looking at them and discovering that the whole branch then looked like one frond off of that, and then looked like one tiny mini frond off of that. And I also remember discovering when fiddleheads became ferns, and I couldn't believe that this whole condensed, dense package, curlicue, compressed life force, green, snail-like nugget of photosynthesis could unfurl and become a whole fern. And today we have something different for you, which is Josh's idea, and I love it, which is to take three of the microdoses we received back and put them together into a mosaic on this microdose. So in the same way Wordsworth speaks about spots of time, these kind of eternal spots of time that are both rooted in a really particular specific moment and yet feel infinite. And I think in some ways microdoses are another example that when I'm making them, they feel like spots of time. And I think that these microdoses are spots of time. They're like spots of consciousness. And we hope more and more to begin to share through our mycelial network more and more of other voices. We see it as an ecosystem, an audio ecosystem, a spots of consciousness ecosystem that's growing. And just to quote Josh, because he left me such a gorgeous note about it, he said, cycle two, this is cycle two of microdoses, wants to be playful. It will sneak up on you, off the clock, in search of new calendars. The daily emails find a new rhythm. Prose turns to poetry. The poets become the timekeepers. So here we are in this moment, in this time, beginning to expand and invite in more voices and other things, other mini happenings on here as we expand what this is and what it can be. So here we go into the realm of more microdoses. Enjoy.
I am following your lead, beautiful Poe. Walking into my yard, barefoot, and as you said, if you feel your heart kind of widening and you feel a little bit of fear, and then there was one other thing, which I already forgot, but I felt all of those. So then I thought maybe it's the perfect moment to do it, and it is dusk right now where I'm sitting under a big maple tree. And I was just going to go and play with some music, some recordings that I've been working on. Which is, it's funny because it's a very, I'm using my voice, I'm singing in these recordings. But I hardly ever use my voice in this way where I just speak. It's sometimes I leave audios for people, for friends, which is kind of similar, I guess. instead of directing it and talking about a very specific thing to a specific person, this is more of a just speaking into the space, into the ether, into the sound waves. Yeah. Just listening to the birds. I think I will listen to the last bit of your microdose and wrap it up.
It's the sound of a tiny fan on my desk, right next to a south-facing window, which at this time of year in the East Bay pours in some pretty hot light. It's hot in my house, which is wonderful. And a couple of weeks ago, I invested in a series of fans to move the air in my home. And I've been thinking a little bit about how I would not have filled my house with fans if a global pandemic hadn't gotten me to sit down. I've been traveling so much these past few years that I truly would not have been home enough to feel the heat of these rooms, to feel it enough to want some relief. And that's made me curious about what else this period of tremendous slowing down, of turning our foundations completely over, of removing any semblance of a status quo, like of what that has made possible. And when I, you know, feel into the incredible acts of civil disobedience that we're seeing across the country right now, and when I feel the people that I'm standing next to at protests and demonstrations, all of us with masks on, all of us risking our health to stand for the health and lives of Black folks in this country, probably made this possible. And yeah, I feel grateful for all that has been undone so that we can start to make and shake in really profoundly, radically different and new ways. So that's what the fan has for me today.
Lying down and looking at the ceiling is something I used to do a lot as a kid. On a chair, on the couch, on the floor, my legs in the air, my legs over an arm, or my legs behind my head, splayed out. But it was the looking at the ceiling and the imagining what it would be like to live with my feet on that floor and walk those contours and corners and traverse that territory that kept me there. And I didn't do it again for years. And then I had kids and I found myself on the floor again occasionally, and I watched them do it. And I remember that there are other ways to look at the world.